The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it do.
Yes, it does. Is my microphone on?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yep.
I can hear you.
I can't hear me. Can you turn me up? I think I'm red over there. Let's see.
You're way high there, dude.
Am I really?
Actually, they're actually yellow.
Might be my headphones.
For some reason, it's marked red, but it's yellow.
Oh, yellow.
I hit yellow. What do you think?
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. A few technical difficulties here at the beginning of the program. Basically, we're getting all set here. We're excited about today. We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And we archive for how long, Wynn?
Forever and ever, ever and ever.
We do. How's the knee, buddy?
Amen. Oh, much better. I can kick your butt without any hesitation now.
Probably could have done that anyway. Yeah, so, and pretty soon you'll be flying, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Be great. Yep. You can fly all over the countryside.
That's right.
We can do broadcasts from the air.
You can lean out the window if you want.
I like flying. I don't like airports, but I like flying. And I don't like TSA. It doesn't seem to, I mean, I don't know what it is, but it seems to be that I never really can get through TSA. I got stopped because I had too much shaving cream in my can.
What?
Yeah, too much shaving cream. That's a true story.
Yeah, but they let the illegals come across the border, like, look at his foot.
Maybe, but there was...
You look too illegal.
There were too many ounces in it. It wasn't the size of the can. They thought there might have been too many ounces. But I guess if you have a bigger size and you only have half the ounces that it says on the can...
The pressure's relieved?
I guess it's okay, yeah, because, you know, you can't have 5 ounces or something. It was just, I'm going, are you serious?
Wow.
Then on the way back, it was fun for everybody. But anyway, I really haven't quite figured out how to go through security yet. I don't know what, maybe...
Do like OJ, just run through it.
Wearing nothing. That's a Christmas card you don't want, folks. We are here this morning and excited about it. We're here with Laura Hobbs, Dr. Laura Hobbs. Laura Hobbs is still on the hunt for District 2 Supervisor in Shasta County. And Laura, I think that a lot of the work you've done with the elections and all the things that you have researched and all the things that you've brought to light for all of us and brought to light has been great for the county. So how are you doing? What's going on with you? And what's the latest on what's going on with you?
Oh, thank you. I welcome this opportunity to speak to you and to your listeners. So after the election, I thought I would just kind of take a break and relax, but
wrong.
I was wrong. I started observing the counting full-time pretty much, observing the tabulation and the scanning of the ballots, which went on for weeks after the election. So I've been, after doing that, I've been analyzing the data and staying up late nights trying to make sense of everything they've given me, everything I've seen. So we have the audit logs and the cast vote record data, a partial recording, not the whole recording yet, but we got to see at least what happened during the first half of the counting of the ballots. And so that's what I've been up to.
Wow. Now, there obviously is something not quite right in your district. And you were telling me the other day, it's all the districts, that there could be some, I don't even want to say anomalies anymore. We don't want to use anomaly. Mm-hmm. We want to use crooked, something crooked.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can start with something that's pretty obvious for most people to see, which is that the initial drop of ballots, which are the early votes, they come out first, and the percentages in there are vastly different from the percentages in the second drop of ballots that come out, which are the election day. And in the past,
What do you mean by percentages?
Like, say, Alan Long in that first drop, he got 60% of the vote. And the second drop, he only had 40% of the vote. That's a percentage drop of 20 points. In the past,
that's ginormous.
That would never happen. So we can look at the historical data and see that that is anomalous. That's something unusual and unnatural. Speaking to people who've run previous elections, they pretty much said, well, if I was down by 1 or 2 percentage points on the first drop of that, you know, the early vote, I pretty much knew that was it for me.
You were done.
There was no chance.
There's no chance of recovering from that 1%.
Yeah, because it just wouldn't change much. You wouldn't see differences in the drops to that extent.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that I observed.
So you go from a 1% not being able to change it to a 20%. There's no way of recovering from any of that.
Yeah.
Oh, holy smoke.
So that's just one observation. Some people will say, oh, well, you know, the narrative in the mainstream media is to say, well, Democrats vote early, and that's why you see such a huge difference. But historically, that's not the case. And in Shasta County, that's certainly not the case. We have more Republicans in that represented that early vote drop than Democrats.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
So.
Well, not only that, but we also have a Republican majority. And I guess you could say that Alan Long is a Republican. I didn't really hear anything in his interviews to show that he was anything other than liberal. You know, good or bad or indifferent. The fact is, the man's a liberal. And to me, I'm wondering how we keep ending up with people in elected office here in this county that are left of center. But anyway, there's some more things you found out, and how you coming now, and where do you stand, and exactly how many votes were there? I hear 18, 14, 15. How many votes really separated you from getting that percentage point you needed?
Well, there was 14 votes hanging in the balance that prevented me from going to a runoff in November since I was second place. 14 votes.
Well, now that we finally have that straight, that's good. We finally have the real number right from the horse's mouth, or the filly's mouth, I guess I should say. But anyway, the other thing I'd like to ask you about is where do you think you can go, or what can you talk about as far as the legal opportunities you have and the legal things you can do to get this all right? What are they that you can talk about?
Yeah, well, you have 5 days after the election in which you can contest it. The only way to contest an election is through the courts. So it was a request for judicial review and contest of election. You have to name the winning candidate as the defendant in that case. So that's what I did.
And it's nothing personal.
It's just
a political legal requirement of the political arena for you to get in there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's a requirement in the way that the law is written.
Okay.
So it's not that I believe that Alan Long, you know, was personally responsible for any wrongdoing. It's just the technicality that he's listed as the defendant.
Okay.
In this case. And so this case is based around these 14 votes. So in order to win this case, we have to show there were 14 votes that were not counted properly.
Okay.
To offset that.
Yeah.
So then you're talking like dead? You're talking...
Dead voters, yes.
Ballots that should not be even considered because the people moved away or what have you?
Mm-hmm.
When I say moved away, they no longer live in either Shasta County or California in total?
Yeah, or just not within the county, so they're not qualified.
Yeah, not within the district.
Yeah.
Or even within the district.
Yeah, I mean, for the people have to be in the district to vote for their particular supervisor. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So that's one component. The other component is that in every race in California, there's California Election Code, I believe it's 13112, which states that the position of the candidate on the ballot is decided by random alphabet drawing, and this is done at the Secretary of State's office. Mm. It's something that they do for every election. And all the counties get the memo. It's a memorandum. They have to follow this by law. And during this election, the letter H was the second letter they drew, so I should have been listed first on the ballot. However, I was listed third, and the first person listed has a 5% advantage over all the other candidates.
Right.
Hmm. So in my race, that amounts to about 539 votes that should have gone to me, but instead went to Alan Long, who was listed first and on the ballot.
Gotcha.
And that is an interesting and true statistic. By the way, if you have a question for Laura or a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. So when does this go to court? When do we start seeing something happening with this?
It should happen fairly quick. We don't have a hearing date yet, but it will be scheduled soon, and it should be heard, I believe, within the next month.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. Well, yeah. We'll have you back on after that, of course. Now, in lieu of this, do you think that there were some situations in District 3 or District 4 where there were some things that with those candidates that either came in first or came in first and second? Was there anything there in those two races that you gleaned?
Absolutely. I haven't looked at the cast vote record data for those districts yet. However,
can you explain cast vote to the folks?
Sure. It's an auditing document that allows you to replay the election from start to finish. It doesn't tell you the identity of the voters. It's completely anonymous, but it tells you how they voted on each ballot, on every race on the ballot as well. So you can see patterns. So the pattern that you would expect in a fair election is that the votes come in, and in the beginning there's a lot of variation, so you see spikes on the graph. But then it levels off to a flat line on the graph, and that's the candidate's percentage, say, you know, Hobbs's percentage. And that should be fairly stable, and this is what we talked about just a moment ago about mm-hmm. the historical data. It really doesn't vary much historically. However, what we're seeing is a huge variation. Instead of that graph leveling off, it continues to grow and grow and grow. Even after tens of thousands of votes have been counted, and after, if you get one more vote and there's 20,000 votes already counted, that one vote only carries 1/20,000th of an effect on the total outcome of that candidate's percentage. So this is the type of thing that the cast vote record analysis enables you to see.
You know, it seems to me like District 4 was quite a, that seemed to be quite a landslide, you know, mm-hmm. and I find that a little bit shocking, especially what's going on in Chesapeake City now with the mayor up there.
Yeah.
Apparently, I heard that one of the council members up there said, well, it's a family matter.
Yeah.
You know?
In court. In court.
It's only a family matter. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's only a family matter. I'm going to have to give that person a call.
So this cast vote record, then, is it hard to decipher, to understand? I mean, if you peel back the onion and you start looking at it, is it obvious, or do you really have to just sink into it and wrap your head around everything and just kind of, through osmosis, figure it out? How does that work?
Well, the way that I've done it historically in the past, you know, when I've done these analyses, is I've modeled other people's strategy and method of comparison. So it's pretty straightforward. It just involves simple math for the most part.
Oh, Terry's out.
But in this case, I'm letting someone else do the analysis, since I feel like that's more fair, since I'm a candidate. So
you have somebody else eyeballing it then?
Yeah, Steve Umfleet is the one looking at the cast vote records.
Oh, okay.
Provided by the ROV's
okay.
office.
And so can anybody get those, or just...
Yes, it's a public record. It's an auditing document. Anyone's entitled to them.
And how long does that take? And do you have to fill out a special form and pay a special fee to do that?
There's no fee. You just send an email request into the ROV's office. They sent me the preliminary cast vote record, but they said the final one will not be available till April 22nd. So maybe next week I'll get a hold of that.
That's great.
Well, that's crazy, because we had an election on March 5th.
Yeah.
So it's a month and a half later?
Yep. Part of that was it was not certified till March 28th.
Oh, so okay. Gotcha.
They had votes coming, trickling in. So I want the final, you know, the complete
right.
analysis.
Right. Well, I think it's wonderful that we have all this technology because it makes everything go so much quicker.
Nope.
You know, it blows my mind.
Compared to what it used to be?
Right. And the reason I did bring up Shasta Lake City was because that was in District 4, and it's mm-hmm. the largest city in District 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, and to me, I think it just shows more of really and truly if people are up in arms about that, maybe that area isn't quite as liberal as it looked, because yep. I believe that the candidate for that district is a little more liberal than Patrick Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's, to me, again, it really comes up to be quite shocking how we're seeing all this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at District 3, okay,
mm-hmm.
what do you think, were there some things there in District 3 that you found that were a bit irregular?
Yeah, I'd like to talk a little about the audit logs.
Oh,
and
good.
We could use District 3 as an example. So we sat there and observed the election. We wrote down every time a batch was scanned, we wrote the batch number, the precinct number, the time, and the number of ballots in that batch. In District 3, if we compare our direct observations to the audit log data, which is a log that basically records every keystroke, it's 200, 300,000 lines long. But if we look at the batches they recorded and the number of ballots per batch, we're missing in District 3 553 votes. 553 votes.
And we're missing those, and we've already certified it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So
those votes were cast, but they're missing?
Yeah. We saw those ballots scanned. We saw, you know, the screen when it's done, it'll say 100 ballots scanned. But if you look at the audit log, that same batch number, instead of saying 100 ballots scanned, it'll say 15 ballots scanned. So where did those ballots go? Where did those votes go?
Oh, interesting.
And that's just one of the discrepancies. Just to go through that real quick, District 1, we're missing 1,000 votes. District 2, we're missing 1,400 votes.
1,400?
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord.
District 4, we're missing 600, basically 700 votes. In District 5, 275 votes.
Holy smoke.
Yeah.
So District 5 did not have a supervisor on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So what votes truly are missing in that district?
Well, they voted for all the statewide elections.
Right.
For the judgeships
right.
and for the county ordinances, the okay. Charter County and the term limits.
So this analysis will encompass everything that ran, not just the supervisor race.
Right, and well, that's what I'm getting at, is that mm-hmm. it's got everything there, but they still have so many missing.
A lot.
And in the other four districts, there were effectively four supervisors being voted on.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's interesting to notice there's a lot more missing in the four districts where we had supervisors than in the one district where we didn't have a supervisor.
Exactly. That's my point. Yeah.
Okay.
That is my point. Yeah.
And it's funny that the Board of Supervisors didn't question this before they certified the vote. Did they bring it up at all, the Board of Supervisors bringing any of this stuff up?
No, I was quite disappointed. I did share this data with them. They had it in their hands. And
all of them?
Yes, all of them. So I don't think they should have declared the election. I think at that point they had to attest that what they were signing onto, that they knew it was true and correct, and there was reasonable doubt, in my opinion.
You think?
And they should not have declared it, in my opinion.
So then if what you're doing goes farther forward with your case, and it shows that there are actions taken within the election that were not right, because I'm not going to say anything legal or anything, but they just weren't right, and that's proven, and that's adjudicated to that point, then that tells us that the elections office was being deceitful to the Board of Supervisors, because they were having faith that office was doing their job, right? I mean, even though we know all the garbage going on, they're still trusting that what they were given is true.
Yes, that's correct. I can't say how much each person knew as far as the inconsistencies here, but I can certainly say that there were red flags that I alerted them to, and it's going to be for the judge to decide the culpability here, not for me. All I'm doing is saying I see some differences. Why is this?
Right. So it comes down to one judge, one person making that decision. Here we are in California once again.
Well, yeah, but I think that, I mean, it's. I think that when I understand the judge you have is pretty fair from what I've heard. I won't mention any names, but I've heard that that judge is fair, and it could have been worse. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who that would have been.
So, okay. I have a quick question. And the question is, the ROV certified an election without a complete CVR. Is that correct?
I think they had the complete CVR. They didn't share it with me.
And so then are they modifying it before it's publicly released?
You know, that's a good question, and I hope, you know, we can compare the two, one that I've already received with the partial to the one that I'll hopefully be receiving next week.
Okay, interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on here.
A lot of stuff, but I'm just kind
of amazed that the
Board of Supervisors had this data and still went the way they did, unless they didn't read the data you had. I mean, it'd be enough just to see that, you know, we're missing some votes here, guys. I mean, what's going on?
And all that data with the votes missing, they had all that data and everything else?
Yeah, she gave it to them.
The supervisors, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the other problem with the audit log is that the dates are incorrect. So the audit log tells you who did what when, and a lot of the batches predated the actual scan dates.
You mean they started scanning them before they were legally allowed to?
Well, possibly, but actually that's not what I meant.
Okay, sorry.
So I'll give you an example. Election Day batch number 69, we saw it was run on, the audit log said it was run on 2/9, 2024. That's 4 days after the ballots were sent out. And this is audit log line 2061.
So they sent, they were running ballots 4 days after they were sent out?
Yeah. But we saw that batch, 69, it was actually an election day batch that was run on the evening of election night. So there's two sets of books here.
nice.
I'll give you another example.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. Vote by mail batch.
Forget about it.
Yeah. the vote by mail batch 44 was created according to the system on 3/4, March 4th at 10:04 a.m. But I know for a fact that the vote by mail batch was run on March the 8th at 10 a.m. because I saw it go through the scanner.
So we had a trial run or just a loading of something in February?
It would appear this might be a preload. This might be kind of what we were seeing. I don't know. I can't say for certain, but I can say that their dates are incorrect. And then, as I mentioned, that we had the batch number or the number of ballots in each batch was incorrect. And out of 168 vote-by-mail batches analyzed, only 46 of the audit log batches per batch matched the observed ballots per batch. So only 46, that's one out of three batches, were credited incorrectly.
Wow.
So it's a pervasive problem, and probably go ahead.
No, I want you to finish your talk.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So hopefully when we get back from the break, I can talk about what I think was the most egregious discrepancy that I found, which is that the audit log precinct numbers do not match our observations, and the precinct numbers is what they use to tally the whole official election results
and to certify it.
And to certify it, yeah.
Holy smoke.
So with that, we're going to go off to our break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to continue with Dr. Laura Hobbs. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Up in the hills of northern California. We believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance for the last of a dying breed.
Fred Bluff Roundup is on April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5. Rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12. Rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music star Chase Matthews. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12. Rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Attention, all poker enthusiasts. Don't miss out on action-packed fun and incredible prizes. Head to Wind River Resort and Casino Poker Room for our Casino Royale event on Friday, April 12th and 26th, starting at 3 p.m. Get ready for the thrill of Texas Hold'em, because the first 9 players to sign up for a limit Texas Hold'em game will receive a $30 add-on and a raffle ticket for a chance to win amazing prizes. And that's not all. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., there'll be 2 hot seat winners drawn every half hour to win dining vouchers or $100 cash. Also, there's something extra for the fashion-forward poker stars out there. Dress in your finest formal attire and receive $50 in free slot play. And our judges will award the best-dressed guest with $75 in chips. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Shut her up. Darn right. You know, this has been amazing. What great information. Anyway, I wanted you to continue on, maybe recap the last little bit we talked about, and then go off onto it. We're with Dr. Laura Hobbs. Go ahead, my dear.
All right. So out of 137 vote-by-mail batches compared, only one of the audit log precinct numbers matched the observed precinct numbers. And Joanna Francesca says they use precinct numbers to balance the election. This is the entire scaffolding on which they base their election results. So how could you possibly do that if your precinct numbers are incorrect?
Right.
And when I looked at the election day, for the most part, there was this hybrid batch of election day. I'm not talking about that one right now. But for the most part, the election day matched to a T. So the number of ballots per batch matched, and also the precinct numbers matched, what we observed. However, if you look at the vote by mail, which is the majority of our election is vote by mail now, unfortunately, almost none of them matched. So it's not just within a precinct that the mismatches are occurring, because in District 2 we have about 12 or 13 precincts, all within the same district. But the mismatches that we're seeing are between districts. So I have districts assigned to me that aren't even in District 2.
Wow.
I have precincts, I should say. I have precincts. So the mismatch was such that it didn't even square with the different precincts.
So the counting of certain precincts in other districts were added to your tally?
I can't necessarily go that far as to say
and,
that.
And then some of yours are missing that were added to others? So, like, yeah. From District 2 to District 3 or District 2 mm-hmm. to District 4, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I was assigned precincts that weren't even in my district or vice versa. And wow. I don't know that, you know, how that squared itself in the end as far as where the tallies and where the votes were attributed.
And that's what you're waiting for to find on the CVR then, that information that you're waiting to get? You'll be able
yeah.
to audit that part of it?
So we'll be able to look at that, and the CVR is showing some strange anomalies as well as far as the precinct numbers.
Of course.
But the fact that these precinct numbers don't match what we saw firsthand, because when they're scanning the ballots, the operator in there, she types in the notes section the precinct number. And we're quickly jotting down everything we see on the screen from the outside. Mm-hmm. And these are not matching up. So it seems that we have a second set of books here. Within the election day, we have kind of these two books, one which matches perfectly to our observations, and the other one which is a hybrid. So 68 of the batches there were 34 of which whose audit log precincts number matched perfectly the observations, and then there were others who actually didn't match, and it also didn't match the date and time that they were actually run. So there's just a lot of questions, a lot of unanswered questions here. Let me see, what else can I tell you about? So with the cast vote record, there was an individual, like I said, I mentioned before, Steve Umfleet. He did an analysis, and for clarity and simplicity, he excluded the election day votes from his analysis because they were different. But despite the removal of election day votes, two unique phases of the election were identified and analyzed. And he calls this the dual nature of the election contest for Supervisor District 2 because it looks almost as if two elections occurred at once.
Wow.
And he also described what I described earlier, which is that in a random or mostly random contest, the cumulative ratio is expected to converge at its final value early in the trials, which is what I describe when I say it becomes a flat line. But in this contest, the ratio of Long to Hobbs votes, there's a steady decline. So it converges early, but then there's a steady decline, which is, indicative of the fact that it's not following the law of large numbers. So it's not staying around the average. When you have a lot of trials and votes are considered trials, you expect it to converge around the average, and it's not converging around the average.
And that's a normal pattern that should occur.
Yes, that's what would occur in a fair election.
Right, and so that normal pattern is totally blown out of the water by the data that you're seeing.
Yes.
Wow.
And then I tried to kind of make sense of the... Oh, did you want to take...
Nope.
No, okay. Okay, so basically when we look at the cast vote record data, there were two buckets of votes, the vote-by-mail votes and the election day votes. These were the vote types. So for the election day, we had a ballot range of 1 to 94, and for the vote-by-mail, we had 1 to 353. So between 1 to 94, you might expect to see two batches with the same number, like two batch number 99s, for instance. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 93. So anything 93 and below, you would see duplicates of. However, we do have duplicates in the CVR batches above 93. So there should not be duplicates of batch 102, 113, 119, 159, et cetera. But in the CVR, there are duplicates. So where did these batches come from?
Wow.
So that's just another issue.
And then yes.
The last and final one is the one that I call the memory hole data. And so sometimes batches have to be rerun because of scanning errors. And this is to be expected. You don't want to keep a duplicate batch that was due to a legitimate rerun. In that case, you have the same operator, the same precinct number, and the same tabulator number. However, what I found was there were 40 cases of batches that were discarded due to illegitimate reasons. So it has a different precinct number, a different operator, a different tabulator, but the same batch number. And so they discarded the duplicate batch. So I have a whole section of the duplicate batches, and these were discarded, and I feel like they were wrongfully discarded. I call it memory hole data because once a batch has been scanned, it's stored away in a cardboard box, never to be seen again.
And are those shredded and
discarded? Yeah, they will be after 22 months. But yeah, so if we hadn't actually been sitting there writing it down and seeing them scan that physical ballot, mm-hmm. it would have been as if it never even existed.
Wow. We still have a caller on the line?
Wow.
We have Dave on the line.
Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Dave. Is this Dave?
I'm Dick, as in Richard.
Okay, well, you're Dave on our board, and you were Richard at first, and then it was changed to Dave. So, anyway.
It was a small mistake. Richard, please call me back, but you're good.
No, Richard's on the line right now.
Richard's on the line.
Oh.
Yeah, this is Dave. Yeah, this is Dick Wilkinson.
Right, how you doing, Dick? Shoot away, buddy.
Okay. Hey, Laura, I just tuned in while I was out working, but I don't know. Did you mention about your fundraiser or your raffle for the Luger Max 9?
Oh, yeah. I haven't mentioned it yet, but
go ahead, buddy.
I'm having a raffle, and thank you, Dick, for bringing that up. Dick's selling tickets. And
right. I've been selling tickets, and anyway, on the ticket, it says proceeds to pay for a Laura Hobbs legal contest and possible judge order recount. Drawing tickets $20. Drawing date May 12, 2024. For more information, call, that's your number, 805-710-4905. Well, I have some of your tickets. I have 50 of them to start with, but Patrick Jones didn't have any. I took 20 of them and gave them to him, so I only have 30 left. I'm getting a little low. And Laura, if you could bring maybe sometime this next week, bring me about another 30 more tickets, so I'll do my best to sell them. Anyway, anybody want to buy these tickets, $20, give me a call, 530-246-9131, or go to Jones Ford Gun Store on Cypress, and they have a ticket there also.
All right. Well, thank you,
Thank
Dick.
You so much.
Thank
there you.
You
go. Advertisement.
There
thank you,
go. You,
buddy. Appreciate you a lot. Dick Wilkinson, one of our great, great, great patriots here. Mm-hmm. What he does for Salvation Army is probably the greatest individual effort of helping them of any citizen probably in the entire state.
Yeah, Korean.
I mean, period.
Korean War veteran.
Korean War veteran.
Yeah.
His wife, Fran. Great people. You can't beat him as a patriot. Anyway, we do have Dave on the line. Dave, what say you?
About the District 2 results, are these people just incompetent? Or are they corrupt, or is it both?
Yes.
If this is happening, in District 2, what about the other districts? And if this is happening in Shasta County, what about all the other counties? And I'll hang up and let you answer. Thanks.
Yeah, the big answer is yes.
Yep.
to your dual question, it is yes.
Absolutely. I think it's a little bit of both. But, you know, ultimately, when they sign their name to this, the ROV, they have to be sure that everything's matching up. They have auditing documents at their disposal. And unfortunately, as I understand it, Joanna answered me during a press conference on the 28th, and I asked her, did you look at the audit log before you certified this? And she said, no.
No.
So
Is she required to?
Go.
Well, that's what they use for certifying the election.
Well, but is she required to?
Well,
I mean, if she didn't do something she was required to,
right?
Wouldn't that just be an automatic question? Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure if she's required to or not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's me either. And, you know, that's some of the things I think that, like I said, I really think the supervisor should have looked at. Of course, it's kind of water over the dam at this point.
Right, right.
We have the, and that's why we need to help Laura. In fact, she's, you know, to get this right. So I think that we need to be making sure that when we have someone stands up like this, going to court for all of us, to see whether our votes are being cast, counted, and recorded properly. We've got to support this, no matter who you are. And again, I would just can you give them your phone number, your address, and how they can get money to you?
Sure. You can also buy tickets on my website, which is votelaurahobbs.com, and you can contact me at 805-710-4905. You can buy tickets in person at the fort with me or with Dick Wilkerson.
How much are the tickets?
They're $20 each. It's for the Ruger Max 9mm, and tickets will be drawn on Mother's Day.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
For your pistol-packing mama.
I like that. That's awesome.
That's great. Is there anything else that you want to bring up that you haven't covered yet that you think is vitally important for the folks to know?
Well, you know, and just to summarize the last segment where I was talking about the discarded batches, the duplicate patches, they were in total about 4,000 for the whole county.
Oh, man.
So this is a significant number.
4,000 duplicates?
4,000 ballots that there was 40 batches, but within those 40 batches contained 4,000 ballots. Does that make sense?
Yes, and those were all duplicates.
Yeah, those were ones that were discarded because the computer recognized them as duplicates.
Okay, so when you were talking about the staff working at the RV office and they're entering the batch numbers, are they doing that manually or do they scan something? What do they do?
They're entering it manually. So they.
It's just keystrokes?
It's keystrokes, yep.
Okay.
They pre-sort it. They use the Agilis to sort the ballots as they come in through the mail.
Okay.
And then they get put into precincts. And then they open the ballots by precincts, and they have put them usually in batches of 100.
Okay.
But sometimes smaller.
We have a caller on the line. Dran, is that correct? We have a caller on the line. We can't make out the name on the board there.
Quick draws here.
Oh, quick draw. Quick draw.
Richard,
hey,
come
Rich.
On, man.
Come on.
I mean, draw?
Hey.
Come on.
Our producer Chris. Is trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, no kidding.
Poor guy.
Good gravy. Just, hey. Okay, Richard, what's up, Richard?
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this past March election was the first time Laura and others sat at those computer screens making the notes of these batch running scan information. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong there. But that is what has blown this out of the water. Wow, I mean, amazing detail, note taking, and comparisons. And it's blown it out of the water. But here's my comment. Notice, Laura and others have been very public on election concerns in so many different avenues regarding our concerns with what we believe. They'll call them anomalies. I call it fraud. But do you notice what's not being said by the elections office? If I was in the elections office and I was leading that, and there was very, very public concerns regarding these anomalies with the audit logs, everything, why is the elections office not coming out and countering our narrative? Why are they not doing press releases, town halls, whatever, in order to calm these concerns? Why then are they not doing that? That's my question.
Because they don't care.
Yeah.
Well, should they not be doing that? I would think they would want to defend these allegations, and they're not.
Well, we're trying to find out what they're obligated to do and what they're not obligated to do, and I think that maybe we need to have, and you're great at this, maybe find out, you know, what they should do or have to do when it comes to law. But I, for the most part, people that I know that are bureaucrats or elected officials will do exactly what it is they only have to do.
They're minimum. Certainly
the minimum, the very minimum they have to do. So, I mean, you're right, but how do you get them to do it? You're right. How do you get them to do it?
I get that. I mean, we cannot force them to do that. But you see, my point is, you know, we are challenging their honor and integrity in their elections activities, and they're not defending themselves. That should tell us a lot. And I'm going to get off so that other people can call in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rich. Hey, we have Dominic on.
Dominic.
Good morning, Dominic. How are you doing?
Oh, how are you doing, Dominic?
Dominic.
Okay. I'm doing fine.
What's up?
Well, I'm glad. Okay, what's going on?
Hey, for Laura, I'd like to ask, the hearing before the judge, is that going to be open to the public? I think a lot of folks would like to attend that.
Yes,
and,
it will be.
It will be?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the courtrooms are quite small now.
And when is it going to be?
I don't have a hearing date yet, but I will keep you posted.
We think it's going to be sometime within the next 30 days. That's the best Laura's been able to get for us. But when it happens, absolutely, great point. Yes, we should fill up that courthouse, no question about it.
Don't they have a certain amount of time to address this issue?
It's supposed to be heard within 15 to 20 days
as
of filing.
As of filing.
We had one judge that recused himself, so it got passed to another judge, and as I understand it, they're just looking for a room on the calendar for me.
Okay, so who's the judge that recused himself? Do you know?
Judge Hannah.
Okay. Probably wise.
No comment.
Probably wise.
No comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Laura, everybody who's concerned with election integrity applauds your effort, and we like to see this resolve in a fair way with the judge, and we wish you all the luck of the world for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's not just me. It's not just my race. I just want to put a shout out to all those people who sat in front of the tabulator screen and took down this data. There is a number of us from the elections group that meets every Sunday. And all are welcome to attend. We meet at the Round Table Pizza at the mall at 4 p.m. It was the volunteers, not just myself, but others that sat there and collected this data that we have to thank, that we can actually make this comparison. Oh. And the previous election, they didn't have computer monitors up so that we actually could not see what was going on in the back cave. They call it the back cave.
That's where
the scanners are.
The window and all, yeah.
So they had the monitors up this election, but I wouldn't be surprised if those monitors come down.
Yep, they'll go
before
away.
The next election.
Yep.
And Joanna said herself that the legislature right now in California is working to make it so that we no longer have access to the batch numbers, to the precinct numbers, or the number of ballots per batch. And why would they want to hide that?
Because they want to control it, and they're finding out it's a failure, a colossal failure. And if one county gets a hold of this and gets it done right, it's going to just sift right through the rest of the other 57 counties in California. That's exactly what's going to happen.
We do have a caller on the line. Bruce, what say you?
Yeah, just a quick question for Laura. This 5% advantage for being first on the ballot, is this some kind of study that will be recognized by the state or the courts, or who recognizes it as the 5% advantage? That's key if it's recognized by people.
It was recognized in Gould versus Grummer, court precedent, in which they actually spoke of that and took that in as evidence and determined because of that that from henceforth they would be using a random alphabet.
Okay, to
determine placement.
Wow.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, were they consistent on that or inconsistent on that on every race within the election?
Shasta County?
Yeah. Did you go through and check all that?
I checked a couple, and some, it seemed like it was completely inconsistent as far as I could tell.
Okay.
Locally, yeah.
So a particular race could be perceived as targeted. For that percentage, anyway.
Possibly, yeah.
Along with all the other stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just really hitting it with everything they got.
Yep.
And they're getting caught.
Yeah.
I love it when things get exposed.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable to me. I mean,
the frustrating part is they are employees of the county, and the county is we the people. And they're failing to remember that. Mm-hmm. They think they're the dictators and the bureaucrats that run that, and they're failing to remember that if it wasn't for our tax dollars, they wouldn't have a job. It doesn't matter what office they hold or what staffing position they hold. They are our staffers. They are our employees, the county citizens' employees, there to do the service and do the will of the people. That's what they're there for.
Well, we have
they're failing us every way around.
Yeah, we have an inverted hierarchy. It's what it is.
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole problem. I mean,
yep.
And it's sort of like, you know, we've said it 100 times. You go to a board of supervisor meeting and you thank them for allowing you to speak.
I know, I hate that.
thank you for allowing me to speak, even though you're my employee and I only get to speak for 3 minutes and you're going to dictate what happens in my future. You know, but thank you for allowing me here, and I'll grovel back to my seat and sit down now and maybe eat a couple of crackers. Oh, wait, I can't have food in there. I can only have water. You know, I think the thing is that we really have gotten to a point where the people who are our staffers and elected officials, I know at one point, that Joanna did make the comment that she didn't want to come in earlier because she didn't want to get yelled at. And I think that maybe when she made that comment about this thing on the certification, I think that comment was made in lieu of the fact that she felt she was going to be attacked by the evil right that Kathy Darlene Allen has talked about how she's been attacked by, and all these people have gone after her. But people have been, at least on the right side of the aisle, I'll just say it because it's obvious, have been very quiet. In fact, now it seems as if maybe there's 2 or 3 people that get up there that are vocal and rude and the rest of it's pretty solid.
Well, it's amazing, too, because they have that viewing room for the media.
Yes.
In the back of the room, and you access it from the lobby.
Yes.
And it's ironic that, you know, all these officials that are, you know, bureaucrats that are running our county go in that room and wait until they're called up to go up to the podium to do their part. They don't sit amongst the people. And there's plenty of seating in there. Mm-hmm. Are they scared to swim in the same pond? What's the deal? Are they fearful of something? Are they embarrassed? What is it? They go into that room and they hang tight there. And I've seen them do it over and over and over again. Every level of them. I mean, I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, but everybody that's been in there recently that has any kind of a position to go and discuss anything with the board, that's where they've been going.
So we have 3 minutes. Laura, do you want to bring us home?
Sure. Okay. Well, one topic I really want to say is the reason why it takes so long to get our results is because we're using the vote-by-mail system now.
Yep.
And even little counties like Alpine County with 440 votes, it took them 2 weeks to count that and to certify.
That's ridiculous.
Modoc County, 2,700 people, it took them a whole month to certify. And the reason is because the mail-in voting. We need to go back to limited absentee voting, one-day voting at the precinct.
Counted at the precinct.
Hand counting.
Yep, and hand counted at the precinct.
Yes, at the precinct.
Yes, and then the information is shared. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
So if you were a supervisor, you would obviously be pushing toward those things.
Yep. We need to put local ordinance in place to support our ROV to do the right thing, to choose to obey local law over the state tyrannical government.
Right. And we are a legitimate...
And that's the beauty of it, too. The Board of Supervisors is the executive and legislative body of the county. That is their job.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we're a legal subsidy of the state.
That's correct.
Looks like I have a flash going off here. Does that mean we're getting low on... We are.
We're low on fuel.
We are low on fuel.
Time to land.
We're low on fuel. Time to land the plane. Okay, Laura, thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for everything you've done. And by gosh, by golly, folks, you need to be there. We'll make sure that you know about the court date of this. Share this program with everybody you can. Make sure you get this link and you share it with everybody. This is a great follow-up to Marley Hornick, who we had on, and with United Sovereign Americans. So with that, well, my friend, it looks like we've come
to the end.
The end of the trial. I know. I sing in the key of L. That's the key of love. But time has come.
For 51.
Thank you.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Amen.